Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Amanda Hankel, Assistant Editor for Quality Progress. This month, I'm speaking with the authors of the May 2013 cover story, Balancing Act. Ida Ross Montgomery is Senior Director and Technical Steward at Shire Specialty Pharmaceuticals in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Justin Newway is Vice President and Chief Science Officer of Analytical Development, Quality, and Manufacturing Solutions for Accelerus Software in Boulder, Colorado. Their article discusses how collaboration between quality and manufacturing teams to understand and analyze data to improve processes, along with the use of technology, can help an organization reduce risk. Thanks so much for joining me today, Ida and Justin.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So can you begin by talking about the importance of data management for risk reduction for any business today? How can not having a handle on data hinder an organization's performance and increase risk?
Well, that's a good question, Amanda. There are a number of ways that not having a handle on data can really increase risk. One is that if you don't get data in a timely manner, and you're not looking at the data in context with related information, you're not really able to glean the important parts of what that data is telling you. And you're in a situation where it's much more difficult to prevent product failures, so you're in a very reactive mode instead of being able to be more proactive and preventative.
Yeah, you know, I think those are important points. Only thing I would add to that is perhaps that I look at data as the facts, right? This is a record of what the facts are. And from the FDA's perspective, if it isn't recorded, it didn't happen. And if there isn't data supporting it, it isn't science. So if it's not those things, it's going to be folkloric, or it's going to be, word of mouth type stuff, which has very, very high risks and is incompatible with running a business in the regulatory environment we have today, or, you know, kind of expecting the market results that you can expect for a business in the life science area.
So in your article, you go on to discuss how one important element in managing this quality data is the ability for quality and manufacturing teams to collaborate together in analyzing it. Why can this be difficult for some organizations? And why is it so important to have this teamwork in place?
Again, a great question, Amanda. The way I see it is that a few things have happened over the years. Life has become more complex. Business has become more complex. And that's also true for pharmaceutical manufacturers, especially when you add in the outsourcing movement. So not everybody has all the skills needed to bring these things all the way to where they need to be. So we need ways for people to draw on each other's strengths and do that easily. And if they can't do that, then obviously there's going to be things missed that are very important. I think some of the reasons this is hard is because people just sometimes there are social reasons why they don't interact. Maybe somebody's new on a job, doesn't really realize, you know, who's around to help them and how easy it is to just engage them. They need to reach out and do that. And some of it is organizational. Sometimes we kind of place barriers between groups of people just by giving them a different department name. And then some of it can be when you need to collaborate between companies. Companies are used to working, you know, for their own objectives and so forth. But when it comes to outsourcing things, collaboration is really an imperative regardless of organizational structures or, you know, social tendencies. Well, what do you think about that, Ida?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Justin. I think, I've seen difficulties in communication and really difficulties in understanding data between different organizations within a company. And those challenges are just magnified when you're looking at an outsourcing model. In a lot of cases, you know, the organizations are looking at the same data, but they may be looking at it at different times. They're looking at it from different perspectives. One or the other organizations may have different information, and you know, in the worst case, that can lead to different conclusions. Having, as you said, Justin, having one source of data and being able to make data-based decisions greatly improves the effectiveness of all those relationships, and really improves the effectiveness of the interactions between the sponsor company and the contract manufacturing organization.
Sure. Now, your article looks at this discussion of managing quality data to reduce risk from the perspective of a life sciences manufacturer, which is a unique perspective for many of our readers. Can you talk a bit about the unique challenges life sciences manufacturers face in the way of data management, and maybe how industry changes are making it more important?
Sure. A lot of the challenges are a result of the fact that the pharmaceutical industry is governed and really driven by regulations. Those regulations are around, as we said earlier, around data integrity and making sure that data is 100% verifiable, but also with respect to making changes. And with different data management and collaboration tools combined with industry consolidation, the data is in different formats, it's organized different ways, it's not accessible from one system to another. And getting, again, having a common collaboration methodology and tool where all of that data can be looked at is just so critical, and again, especially when you're in an environment where there's a significant amount of outsourcing, so you're looking at integrating data across different companies. Justin, what's your perspective on that?
Well, I think you're right, Ida. What makes it unique is very much the regulatory perspective, and that, of course, comes about because when we make pharmaceuticals, we're making something that the consumers of those pharmaceuticals can't really judge the merits of for themselves, and so we have a regulatory body to do that. You know, for example, if you buy a car, you talk to your friends about it, what experience did they have, you know, you make an assessment about what your needs are. You can make, you know, reasonably intelligent choices and choose a car, and if it's the wrong car for you, maybe you didn't like the color, what have you, nobody dies, right? But when you take a pharmaceutical on the advice of a physician, you're putting a huge amount of trust in the FDA. And so the FDA turns around and says to the industry, you know, you've got to do science, and you've got to support that science with the facts. And so life science manufacturers have to meet that challenge. So there's a lot of data gathering that goes on. There's a lot of process control and documentation that goes on, and that adds complexity. All manufacturers face the same business challenges, but the regulatory challenges in the life science space, I think, are the main factor, just like Ida said.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually both come from the life sciences industry. Were you able to glean from some of your own experiences in writing this article? Are there any examples that you could share that are maybe either your own or just other examples that you've heard about?
Yeah, let me, boy, that sends shivers up my spine, Amanda. I have quite a few experiences to draw on that, you know, details will remain obscure for obvious reasons. But, you know, I can recall one experience right now where I was in a situation where I had a team of process experts, and our responsibility was to develop a process and transfer it into manufacturing and support it in manufacturing. It was a bioprocess, making a pharmaceutical in very large volume. So we had some fairly unique production challenges and purification challenges. And because it was a bioprocess, we were gathering a lot of data as a byproduct of all the control systems we had in place, which is, you know, normal for bioprocesses. But as soon as we got from small scale to large scale, the failure rate just went up massively, and here we were needing to supply material for clinical trials, advanced stage clinical trials. And it was very difficult to see what the differences were between the two scales of operation because all the same data were recorded. And what made it difficult was that the data we needed was in several different databases. Some of it was continuous online data, some of it was offline data, and a lot of it was on paper. So we had to make the case that we could find the answer in the data if only we could get better access to it for each run. And we were successful. We did that, and we absolutely turned the situation around. But for several weeks there, it was not just a nail biter, it's a frustration, and it's a huge business setback because you can't put those, you've got no batches to go into the clinic, and you're worrying to yourself, gee, did we really have this process under control? And it turned out that it was nothing we could have recognized at the small scale. It only happened at the large scale, and the only way to find it out was to have done a few test runs at the large scale, which makes it a bit expensive, but the fact that we had so much difficulty getting to the data meant that it took us longer and therefore was even more expensive than it should have been.
And one of the things that I think is we've talked about a little bit, but I just want to highlight is the importance of collaborating between the sponsor and the CMO. I had an example where we were scaling up to make commercial validation batches. So again, the batch size hadn't changed, but the number of batches did change. And because we were collecting the data that was important to the quality of the product at the time that we were manufacturing the product, we were able to see that we were able to identify that the chiller capacity on the site wasn't sufficient. And again, because this data was shared between the sponsor and the CMO, it was a very easy, well, relatively easy, case to make to increase the chiller capacity on the CMO, decreasing their failure rate and improving the quality of our product. So again, this was a small molecule example, but one that just underscores the importance of having the data in a timely manner that tells you how your product is performing.
Sure, definitely. Thank you for that. So at the end of your article, you offer some tips for success, but if you had to pinpoint maybe one or a couple key takeaway points that readers should remember about quality data management and risk reduction, what would you say?
Well, I'd say approach the process of getting data as just that, as a process. Mm-hmm. Communicate about what you're doing and why. Be transparent about what your goals are and what data you want to gather and what you hope it's going to tell you. And then let the data drive your decisions. Justin, what about you?
I think you're right to point out that it's a process, Ida. And the only thing I would add to that, just in brief here, is I think we're aware that the FDA is reviewing the CMO guidelines and will be coming out with a new draft this year. So the world is changing once again, and the process of coping with that change is still upon us. There's not an end state here. There's a continuous process of making sure that we are minimizing risks. We'll never take them all away completely, but we have an obligation to the public to minimize those. And we're about to hear this year, as I understand it, what the new expectations are from the FDA, especially in contract manufacturing relationships. I understand that there's going to be an increased emphasis on the quality portion of the contract. Between CMOs and sponsors, and I think it's going to be well worth looking at early and understanding the implications and making sure we adjust.
Well, thank you, Justin and Ida, for taking the time today to talk about the article. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Again, you can find the feature article, Balancing Act, in the May 2013 issue of Quality Progress magazine, as well as at our website, www.qualityprogress.com. This is Amanda Hankel of Quality Progress magazine, and thanks for listening.